Please turn in the Bible to Isaiah 55, the Old Testament book of Isaiah 55, chapter 55. It's in the middle of the Bible, just after Psalms and Proverbs. Song of Solomon, then you reach Isaiah. If you go in the middle of the Bible, you'll find it's a fairly large book. We're going to read from the verse 6 to the verse 11 of Isaiah before turning to a New Testament reading in the book of Ephesians in the 4th chapter, and we'll be reading there from the verses 17 to 32. First then, the word of God from Isaiah 55 in the verses 6 to 11. Hear the word of God. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. God sends his word to bring change to the lives of the unregenerate and the wicked. Ephesians chapter 4, rather. Pardon me. Ephesians chapter 4. New Testament book that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 32. Now, this I say, excuse me, and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, and created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. But let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by which you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath, anger and clamor, and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. Amen, and may God truly bless to our hearing, our minds, and our hearts this word. We're coming near the end of this series on listening. Drift, neglect, and walking away. We identified at the beginning, it begins with listening. If you don't listen to God's word, you don't hear the word of God, you don't receive it in your mind, you see it, sear your conscience, your heart will become hard, and you will walk. It is something that is revealed to us repeatedly in God's word, and we have seen it in our own experience in the life of this congregation. There is clarity with regard to why God says we have to listen. This is his word. It's not just the words of man. Astonishing and remarkable thing that God should give to us his word. Because it is God's word, it's a living word. It's active. It is the power of God unto the salvation of the lost. Those of you in our midst this morning, whether young, tender of age, or older, who are still dead in your trespasses and sins, your only hope is salvation through Jesus Christ and the means which God has prepared for you that you might avail of that salvation by his grace is through the preached word. Through the preached word. That's why we preach the word of God, that if you're dead in your trespasses and sins, you might be made alive again in Christ. Those of us who are in Christ, it's a wonderful thing that's an active word because our lives are to be made new in Christ. And it's through this word, as we shall see in the bulk of the sermon this morning, it's through this word that that process happens. It doesn't just happen by itself. There is a means and there is an agency. And that means is the living and active word of God, and that agency is God the Holy Spirit. Satan, remember, is active. He wants to steal it away. He doesn't want you, unbeliever, to hear the word of God. He does not want you to be converted. He wants you to remain in the destitution and desolation that your soul presently exists. He doesn't want you to get it. And Jesus has commanded us to take heed for the reasons that we have already considered. In preparing ourselves to receive this word, it is of imperative importance that we talk to ourselves and remind ourselves of these simple facts. If you will not talk to yourself concerning these facts, you will not make any progress. That is just a simple fact. If you will not talk to yourself and tell yourself this is God's word, if you will not talk to yourself and tell yourself this is a living word that God has given to you for a purpose in your life, if you will not remind yourself of the activity of Satan, if you will not, when you come to this building, say, I must be conscious this day that Satan would steal from me everything that I would hear, because he does not want me either to be born again, or he does not want me to grow in my faith. If you do not think of those things, if you're not conscious of that, if you do not remind yourself that this is not just an idea that I have had as minister in this church so that you would all listen to what I have to say, but it is Jesus who commands you to listen. It is Jesus who tells you to take heed. And that God tells us to listen to Jesus. If you do not talk to yourself regarding these things, you will not benefit from God's word. It's a guarantee. And as well as talking to yourself, you must deal with yourself. You must deal with your own hearts. You must put away all that is wrong. We saw that in James, and we saw it in 1 Peter. You must actually, before you come to worship, think about what you're doing. You can't just sally in here on a Sunday morning and expect suddenly to be hit with something that grabs you, arrests your mind, and enthralls your heart. You need to come prepared. You need to come prepared with your heart. Consciously, deliberately, confessing your sin. If you're going to sit and doze and sleep because your heart is not fresh and cleansed by the blood of Christ, then how can you expect to receive from it? Think about that. How can you actually expect to receive? If your heart is clogged with the detritus of the weak, did you think about that this morning before you came out? Did you actually think about the need to ask forgiveness for your sin? Well, if you're not doing it now, just a matter of a month after hearing this sermon preached, If that hasn't resonated in your mind to such a degree that's laid hold of your heart at this brief juncture after hearing that, where are you going to be in 6 months' time? And not only are to we put it away, we're to open our hearts with a humble attitude to receive the word. We're to tell ourselves and deal with ourselves and come to receive this word for what it is. We're to embrace it with our minds. Now, there'll be weeks when you come here where you'll be more physically tired than what you are in other weeks. There'll be some weeks when the various endorphins in your body will be working and your mind will be alert and you'll be fresh. There's some weeks when I come to preach the Word of God and I am mentally tired just because of the events of the week or because of what's going on in my physical body. But we must, both of us, you and I, must come and we must speak to our minds and tell ourselves, I need to engage here. And whilst I will do my best as minister and preacher of the Word of God in this church to put it as simply and with as much clarity as I can and to try by intonation of voice and illustration to bring that to you in a way in which it will make it easier for you to hear it with your mind, the reality is I cannot, no matter how gifted I am and limited I am, I cannot make you own it in your own mind. You have got to take a conscientious decision yourself that you're going to actually listen and you're going to take that in. Now, if that means you bringing a bit of paper and a pen and jotting down a few notes as that happens, that's fine. If that means you have to go point one in your finger, point two in your finger, point three in your finger, that's fine. I don't mind what methodology you use. I don't mind what approach you take. What I do desire is that you will actually engage in the process with your mind. Now, of course, if you're sitting up on a Saturday night late on and you're watching stupid stuff on the television and you're on the internet to early hours of the morning, then obviously you're going to be mentally tired. So young people, if you're going to sit up to 2 or 3 o'clock on a Saturday night, don't think you're going to come here and be fresh on a Lord's Day morning. You're not. You're not. You're fooling yourself. You're depriving yourself of that opportunity. And as well as engaging your mind, you have to apply your heart. You have to give your heart to it. You have to give thanks to God that your heart is receptive. Think of all the people sitting out there today who have no desire at all for the things of God. And you're here hearing the living Word of God read. You've sung three portions of it already. You've heard the Word of God read from Isaiah, and you've heard it read from the book of Ephesians. That's more than anybody will hear. Many people in this community will hear probably in their lifetime, unless they go to a funeral service and they hear it. Thank God for that. Thank God for the privilege of coming here every Lord's Day and hearing the Word of God read and sung and hearing it preached. But you also have to receive and respond to it. If the Word of God comes to you with rebuke or correction, you have to respond. Don't allow your conscience to become seared. Don't sit and listen to the Word of God. And when the Word of God speaks to your heart and the Word of God addresses an issue in your life, don't say to yourself, I'll put this off till a later date. Remember David. Remember Nathan. Remember how David responded to Nathan's address of David. If you keep putting it off, if you keep not dealing with it, if you don't face it, if you don't be honest with yourself, if you don't be honest with yourself, if you allow that thing to harden and fester, that's the means to drift and neglect. You must ask God to write this word on your heart. You must ask God to write this word in your heart. You must ask the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to see and your ears to hear. You must, every time you come to this place of worship, you must say to yourself, and I don't care who you are. I don't care in terms of how much you think you know. It's applicable to all of you, as it's applicable to me. Each and every one of you, regardless of who you are, must request, invite the Holy Spirit and the person of God to write this word on your heart. And then incline your heart to do it. Incline your heart to do it. You must give yourself to God, but you must invite Him to do it. But what do we do then? We've talked to ourselves. We've dealt with ourselves. We've embraced the need to engage our minds. We have realized the fact that it's all about our hearts, and we must cleanse our hearts, and we must pursue after God with all our hearts. We must ask God to work in our lives. What do we do then? Well, there are four things I want to bring to you. First, you must realize that there is a need to change. Realize there is a need to change. Secondly, you must test the word preached. You must test the word preached. Thirdly, you must delight in the word preached. Delight in the word preached. And thirdly, you must meditate upon the word preached. Now, don't begin to think, well, I know what those things mean. I know what meditation means. I know what delighting means. Because I trust that as I open this up to you this morning, that you may get a fresh sense of what those things mean. The first thing you need to do is realize the need to change. This word of God comes to us. It is a living and vibrant word. It is active to our lives. And there is a reason why that is the case. And as you come to hear the word of God, as you come to receive the word of God, there is a purpose in that receiving. There's a purpose in that hearing. And that purpose is that we might do what God tells us to do. That we would implement what it says. It's not, we don't just come to the worship of God simply to hear it. We don't come as the people in Ezekiel's day came to be entertained. We don't come to say, I like to hear the preaching of God's word, but that's all I do with it. Nor do we come that we might grow in information and knowledge so that we might then speak to other people and tell them, oh, we know, I know a part of the Bible and I know information in the Bible. It's not that we are simply accumulating knowledge for the purpose of receiving a better understanding of the things of God. There has to be an end point. And that end point, the purpose of that, is that there would be a change in our lives. And I think sometimes in our lives, we fail to grasp that. We fail to realize that there is a point to our receiving the word of God. That may be a change in our love for God. That may be a change in our understanding of the character of God. That may be a change in our knowledge regarding the truth of God. That may mean a change in our in the way in which we live our lives, the way we think about our wives, the way we think about our children, the way we consider the church, the way we respond to leaders in the church. The purpose of the Word of God is to bring about a movement in our lives from where we are to where God wants us to be. God does not bring His Word to us simply that we might hear it, that it might go into our ears, that it might fulfill and satisfy some internal emotional reaction within us, or it might satisfy some cerebral process in our minds. There is a purpose for which we hear the living and vibrant Word of God. In Isaiah chapter 55, we see the call from God to His people to seek Him. It's a very open call. We didn't read it in the first verse, but the first verse tells us, come everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He who has no money, come buy and eat, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Now He's not talking there about the material investment in their lives. He's talking about the spiritual investment in their lives. He says to him in the third verse, incline your ear and come to me, hear that your soul may live. There is the product of the hearing. The product of the hearing is that the soul might live. And I will make with you an everlasting covenant. There is an end product to the hearing. And that end product is the soul which was dead might live. Now, nothing's more important than an end product in our lives, surely, than that. What greater end product can we have in our lives than our souls might live? And he calls upon the people in the sixth verse, and he says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him. Change. Let the wicked forsake his way. The unrighteous man his thoughts. The wicked man is thinking this way and acting this way. The unrighteous man is thinking this way. And God says, seek me. Not that you can continue on in what you're doing, but that you will experience such a work of grace in your life in accordance with my word, that there will be a change in how you think, how you speak, and how you act. And how does that change come about? He tells us, verse 10, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and I didn't plan this morning that the sleet would start as I was preaching this, do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread, so shall my word that goes out from my mouth, the word of God, comes. Why? For a purpose. And that purpose is to bring this change. It shall accomplish that which I purpose, and will succeed in the thing for which I sent it. So when the word of God is proclaimed, is heralded, is declared, God sends it for a purpose. That purpose is the salvation of the wicked and the sanctification of those who are in Christ. And that word goes with a purpose, not from the lips of the man who declares it. That purpose is not fulfilled by the lips of the man who declares it. That purpose is accomplished and does succeed the thing for which it is sent by God. God achieves the purpose for which it is sent. In John 17, Jesus speaks to the Father in prayer. And he says to those, says to the Father, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified by truth. What is Jesus praying? That those numbered among his elect people, who had been born again by the Spirit of God, that same Spirit that he spoke to Nicodemus of, that Spirit that brings renewal to the mind and regeneration to the heart. Jesus prays to the Father, and he says to the Father, make them holy. Sanctify them. Bring change to their lives. And the medium by which that is to happen is through the Word of God. So when you hear the Word of God being preached, you're hearing that word that's been sent with a purpose which will succeed in the fulfillment of that purpose. And that purpose for you as a believer in Jesus Christ is that you will be made more holy in Jesus Christ. Why did Jesus Christ pray that prayer? Why was that so important on the mind of Jesus Christ in the hours before his death? Why was he so keen to bring that the sanctification of the sinners whom he had called out by his voice as the shepherd, why did he want these people and their lives to be changed? Well, Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 1, he tells us that we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world for a purpose. And that purpose was to be made holy and blameless in Christ. Why do you receive the Word of God? Why do you sit before me this morning? Is it to receive the word of God simply that it may interest you? Simply that it may intrigue you? Is it not the case that that word is sent to bring change to your life? That Jesus Christ prays that that word will bring change to your life. And Jesus Christ prayed that prayer to the Father because he was there before the foundation of the world when you were chosen in him for the purpose of being made holy and blameless. As Paul writes to the church at Rome, he says, "For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son." You have been predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That's who you are. You're not defined by your gifts. You're not defined by your work. You're not defined by your family. You're not defined by your property. You're not defined by your car. You're not defined by your material things. You are defined by the fact that you were chosen before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in the sight of Christ. You are defined by the fact that you were predestined in Christ to be the image of Christ. Do you understand that? Do you get that? Do you understand what I'm saying? That you were chosen before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless. You were predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ, not in heaven but on earth. And the means by which that happens is the word of God. And so Jesus prayed to the Father, "Father, we have chosen them to be holy and blameless. We have predestined them to be conformed to the image of myself. I have laid down my life, or will lay down my life, as a means to redeem them out of their rejection of you and to reconcile them to me and you. Now, Father, what I want you to do is to make them holy through your word as it is preached." When you hear the word of God, do you realize that the purpose is that your life will be changed? That you, when you hear the word of God, are to receive that word into your head and your heart with a view to making decisions that will see you become more holy. That's what it's about. Not that you will just do things because that's what we do in this church. Not that you will participate in certain activities because that's what a member of this church does. The purpose is not to satisfy the leadership of the church by being compliant to certain activities. We have no interest in that at all. Our interest is wholly and solely governed by, driven by, fueled by, arises out of our understanding that you have been chosen and predestined to be holy and blameless and conformed to the image of Christ. And so we build the life of this church on the word of God so that you might receive that word, and in receiving that word, you receiving it by your heart and having God lay it up in your heart and having God incline your heart to it, might fulfill in your own life, for your own good, the plan and purpose which God has for you. Now, if you don't accept that, then bring it to the elders and query that. Very comfortable with you coming and querying that. We're very comfortable because it's clear that our position over the years has been laid out, that that is what our desire is, and that's what our goal is. And we understand that God does the work by his grace as you submit yourself to God. And that which God has declared. He expects to happen. We read together from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, where Paul teaches the church and he says, "Now I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their hearts." What are we to do? We are to put away this old mind. It says in the 23rd verse, "Be renewed in the spirit of your minds and put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." God commands, because God has purposed. And because God has purposed and because God has commanded, God expects. He expects us to actually change through the hearing of his word. He expects us to be conformed increasingly to the image of Christ. It is something that he gives to us which is non-negotiable in our lives. It is not and cannot be an option for you. You cannot choose not to change. You have a new heart. You have a new mind. Your will has been made receptive to the things of God. The word of God is given to you for the purpose of bringing that change which has been predestined for you. Christ has prayed and continues to pray that that change will happen in your life as you hear the word of God. You can then not decide. Well, you can decide. But if you decide as a Christian not to allow that change to take place in your life, what does the psalmist say happened in his life? God brought affliction. God brought trials. God brought difficulties. And why did God bring those trials and difficulties? Just to give the hard life to the individual? No, he brought those trials and difficulties for a reason. He brought those trials and difficulties, the psalmist said, to do what? To bring him back to the word. Why were they to bring him back to the word? Because the word is the means that God is changing, chosen, and the instrument by which we see what we're to become. You see, this discipline that God brings to our lives through hardships at times and through trials at times is to arrest our attention to the necessity that we are not at that time willingly and conscientiously submitting ourselves to the actual becoming holy, or we're not submitting ourselves to the necessity of being conformed to Christ. We are searing our consciences and we are living our lives, and although we have a new heart and although we have a new mind and although we have a will that's been receptive and although we're sitting in church and although we're hearing the word of God and although that we're receiving the word of God, there actually isn't any end product, because for whatever reason we are choosing not to allow that word to bring us by the purpose and plan of God into a position where we are making definitive decisions to actually change. Now, I understand that not every sermon you hear you can take away and implement with full attention and full detail. I'm fully aware of that. I'm not naive. I'm not stupid. But the broad planks of our lives are to be constantly under review by us. And we're constantly to be asking ourselves, am I receiving this word with an understanding that it's to bring change to my life, that I am to put off the old man, that I am to put on the new man? He doesn't just write about it to the church at Ephesus, he writes it to Colossae. He says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, Seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And he goes on, put to death. And he lists all the things we're to put to death. And then he says in the 12th verse of the 3rd chapter, put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, bearing with one another. And he says that we are to do this by letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's how we're to do it. To put off and put on, not through self-exertion, not through saying, I'm determined and I am resolved and I will do it and I will give my energy to it, because we know we won't. We won't. We'll be determined and we'll be resolved. And what will happen is we'll give up. What we've got to do is we've got to let the word of God dwell on us richly, teaching and admonishing us, receiving that word, pouring that word into our lives, and asking God to write that word in our hearts and incline our hearts to do that word so that we will change. You can stir it up in yourself. You can stir up your own attitude to the word of God. You can stir up your own desire for the word of God. And you stir that up by asking God to give you the heart for it. Do you understand? It's about change. It's not just about doing what we want to do when we want to do it. There is a purpose in all of this. The purpose is that we have become more holy and blameless. The purpose is that we become more like Jesus Christ. The purpose is not that I would tell you how to run your life. I don't know how your life needs to be run. I do not know how your life needs to be run. What I do know is that you need the word of God, because in the word of God, Christ will tell you how your life has to be run. As you hear the word of God, and that word comes to you through receptive ears and a cleansed heart, an engaged mind, and a heart that's embracing it, as you receive that word, as you should, then God, by his Spirit, will commune with your soul if you're humble enough to receive it, if your heart is open and melted to it, if you really, really want to imbibe the word of God, if you sit there and say, this is for me. You know, sometimes when I preach, some of you will come to me and say, you know, you were just preaching to me this morning. It was as if you were speaking to me. Well, you should come every Lord's Day asking God, speak to me today, every Lord's Day. You should come and say, I want to sit in my pew and I want to hear the word of God as if I'm the only person that's there. And I want that because you have chosen me in your grace, you have predestined me, and I want to be like Jesus Christ. And this is the instrument that you have given for that purpose. And he does his best. Sometimes it's not all that great, but he does his best. And I want you to lay that word on my heart. And I want you, as he speaks it, I want you, God, to impress it upon my mind. And I want you to enlarge my heart to receive it. And I want you to lay it up in my mind so that when I go away to delight and meditate upon it and then apply it to my life, I know that it's for me, and I am receptive to this change in my life. Is it not an exciting thing? And we're not going to get to another all points. Is it not an exciting thing to think that our lives, no matter what age you are, has the potential for change? And change that you might bear much fruit to the Father's glory. Is that not exciting? With all the trials and difficulties of our lives, and all the heartaches, and all the difficulties at work, and difficulties in family sometime, and difficulties just with relationships, that the idea that we have not only the potentiality to become more like Jesus. Imagine that. Imagine there are people who would love to, some of you maybe would love to go back and be where Jesus was when he walked along Sometime, if we can get ourselves organized, maybe we'll go as a church, as many of us as can, go over and visit the places where Jesus was. I've thought of that two or three times. That would be a great thing to do. And we sometimes think, wouldn't it be great if we could be there when Jesus was there? Well, the reality is it's greater being where we are today because we have the full Word of God. We have the full Word of God. We have Jesus in this Word, giving us all His Word. We have Jesus in heaven praying for us at this very moment in time. But we have even more than that. We have the potentiality to become like Jesus. We have the possibility to be conformed to the image of Jesus. We have the reality of becoming like the holy and blameless character of Jesus. Now, I know that maybe you can down your mind and think, well, I can never get there, should never start. But what sort of an attitude is that? I'm never going to be fully like Him, so I should never start. Surely you should be saying to yourself, if that is the possibility, I want to get on board right away and give myself to it all I can. I don't want to drift through my life just taking it as it comes, one day after the next. I want to get excited about the possibility of becoming like Jesus Christ, thinking like Jesus Christ, breathing like Jesus Christ, living like Jesus Christ, seeing the world like Jesus Christ, seeing other people like Jesus Christ, living in a way that will reflect Jesus Christ, so that other people will come to me and say, I see something about you that's different, and I want to speak to you because there's something about you that is real. There's an intensity about your life, even a peaceful intensity. And I want to see what it's... Well, it comes about as we hear the Word of God. As we hear the Word of God, and we receive that Word, and we say, Jesus, use this word to make me more like you. Make me think about what I'm hearing. Make me think about putting to death impurity. Make me think about putting away malice. Make me think about putting away anger. Make me think about the bitterness in my life. I'm bitter against somebody. I'm bitter. I'm angry. I'm resentful. Jesus, let me hear your word that I may put that bitterness to death and that I may replace that bitterness with a tender-hearted, forgiving attitude, just as you forgive me. That's what I really want. Help me to actually do it. Help me to own it and do it. You see, that's being conformed to Christ. That's becoming more holy. And that comes through the hearing, the receiving, and the delighting in, meditating upon, and owning the Word of God. It is about change. It's about change in our lives. And we need to get that. We really, really, really need to get it. It is about change. Because we've been chosen, predestined, given the apparatus and the means. If we don't get that, what are we doing? Isn't it wonderful that God gives us this work of the Spirit to help us in this change? That as we labor, the Spirit labors in us, bringing this change to bear in our lives. We cannot feel. We're going to close by singing.